Femi Abebefe and the crew, presented by BetMGM.
All right, we got four more sleepers to hit for fantasy and for prop betting for week one. And then Femi and I will keep the eight buckets train rolling. We're going to try and get through five teams today on our NFL win total preview for the coming season. So we talked about a rookie running back to end last segment in Cowboys' seventh-round pick, Phil Maffa. How about the next one? Houston Texans rookie running back, Woody Marks. So here's the situation right now in Houston. I'm going to lay out facts for everybody right now, and then I'm going to ask a question at the end of the laying out of said facts. So Joe Mixon was Houston's number one running back last year and is expected to be their number one running back this year. And candidly, he had an awesome season last year behind a terrible offensive line. He was really good, like finished as one of, like, I think the top seven running back in fantasy football. Mixon was great last season. This offseason has not been a great one thus far for Joe Mixon from a health perspective. Mixon dealing with foot and ankle injuries, going to miss, quote, an extended period of time, and is currently on the NFI list. So he is on the injured list already, and his status for week one very much appears to be in doubt for the Houston Texans. So let's assume that Joe Mixon's out for week one, and it's really bad that injuries are lingering for him already. Like, it's July, and he's got multiple injuries already, like he's the knight from Monty Python. Maybe a dated reference for everybody, but there you go. So Joe Mixon is not healthy. The next man up for the Houston Texans at the running back position is Nick Chubb. Yes, that Nick Chubb. This were 3-4 years ago. Man, we would be super excited about this. And it gives me no glee, it gives me no pleasure to say to all of you right now, I think Nick Chubb is washed. And it's not his fault. He's dealt with multiple significant injuries. We watched Nick Chubb last season in Cleveland. Did anyone think he looked like the Nick Chubb of old? Reports thus far have not exactly been glowing on Nick Chubb at Texans camp throughout either this summer or throughout the spring when he signed a one-year, $2.5 million contract with the Houston Texans. So I know conventional wisdom says that Nick Chubb's going to be the first guy up. Why? Why? And maybe he is the first guy up. I don't think he's any good. And this is a team harboring playoff aspirations coming off back-to-back AFC South champions. Now, perhaps you'd like to make a case for incumbent Damian Pierce, to which I would say, if they liked Damian Pierce so much behind Joe Mixon, do you think they would have signed Nick Chubb and drafted Woody Marks? Probably not, if they felt like Pierce was the guy. Also, maybe wouldn't have brought in Joe Mixon in the first place if they liked Damian Pierce. I think the Texans have told us via roster moves, draft picks, signings, etc., what they think of Damian Pierce. So if it's true that Joe Mixon, dealing with injuries, lingering injuries to his ankles and feet, seems important if your job is running the football. If that's true, and it is. And if it's true that Nick Chubb is the next man up, and that is true. And if it's true, I can't prove this, but I think I'm right, that Chubb's washed up, why can't Woody Marks be the Texans' top running back? Why can't that happen? And I know the Texans' offensive line isn't great. It also wasn't great last year. Joe Mixon played pretty well and had a pretty nice season. I think people are looking past Woody Marks, and I'm not saying that Woody Marks is Barry Sanders, just that think about opportunity, think about a potential path, and tell me it's not there after the facts, not opinion, after the facts that I just laid out. I guess it's my opinion that Nick Chubb's washed up, but I mean, I don't know how you watched the games last year and come to a different conclusion, and I don't say that with glee, just like it's kind of what I think, and I think I'm going to be right about that. So Woody Marks, the second player. So we started with two running backs. Let's end with three wide receivers. Wide receiver number one is a rookie for the Los Angeles Chargers. Now I know what you're probably thinking if you're a sicko. Man, like Trey Harris was a second round pick. Everybody knows about Trey Harris. Well, we're not talking about Trey Harris. We're going to talk instead about fifth round wide receiver out of Auburn, Keandre Lambert Smith. Now, because the Chargers are playing in the Hall of Fame game in a couple nights, just like the Lions, they have been at training camp longer than every team except for Detroit. So we are farther along in Chargers training camp than we are at other training camps. And it feels like, since Chargers camp opened, there has basically been a video every single day from a Chargers beat reporter. Here's Keandre Lambert-Smith absolutely flaming one of their cornerbacks for a deep reception from Justin Herbert or another quarterback on the roster. So let's think about the Chargers wide receivers. They signed Mike Williams to be a starter. He retired the night before training camp started, and we feel bad for Mike Williams, who's been has dealt with the knee injuries and injuries basically since the Chargers made him a first-round pick, a top-10 pick out of Clemson many years ago. So Mike Williams retires. That leaves, for the Los Angeles Chargers, Quentin Johnston, who maybe you want to argue can fulfill some of that potential that made him a first-round pick. I think it's a little unlikely. Every single day, it's like an up and down for Quentin Johnston. Here's one great catch, then he has a drop, and he's hanging his head. We've watched Quentin Johnston for a couple years. I think he's not Treylon Burks. Like, he's an NFL player. Like, he's not going to get cut. And if the Chargers released him, he would get picked up immediately by another team. He's not a scrub. He's not Jag, just a guy. But I don't know if he's a difference maker. I don't know if that's ever going to be the case. So we have Quentin Johnston. Ladd McConkey's role is secure, and Ladd McConkey's upside is to be one of the 10 best receivers in football this year. He's great. I love Ladd McConkey. Trey Harris. Maybe Trey Harris has got the goods. We'll see. There has been objectively, not subjectively, objectively, more buzz about Lambert Smith than there has been about Trey Harris. Now think about Justin Herbert's skill set. And think about what the Los Angeles Chargers lacked last season, both in the run game, to be fair, and also the pass game. And they look to address that problem in the run game. Here's Omarion Hampton, who's certainly capable of busting off big runs and explosive plays. They lack explosive plays in the pass game down the field. This is Lambert Smith's game. Now, it's still July. Certainly possible that Trey Harris laps him in between now and the start of the regular season. Maybe even Quentin Johnston laps him. There's even been some positive praise for Darius Davis, another wide receiver on the roster who plays special teams also. So there's still time here. But I think you absolutely, fantasy football, you're in deep leagues, you're playing best ball. As we start to think about how we want to bet week one, if he's going to make this roster and he's good in the preseason, just keep that name in mind. Keandre Lambert Smith from the Los Angeles Chargers. Let's stay in division for the fourth name in the AFC West. And members of the show crew off air will know the name that I'm about to mention. Third round receiver from the Denver Broncos out of the University of Illinois. The one, the only, Pat Bryant, who compares to Michael Thomas. You might be saying to yourself, wow, that's pretty lofty. How could you say something like that, Nick? Well, how about because Sean Payton himself has said it this offseason? Payton obviously coached Michael Thomas in New Orleans. Now he coaches Pat Bryant in Denver. Bryant basically has identical size to Michael Thomas. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Michael Thomas, who won Offensive Player of the Year, and like absolutely dominated for the New Orleans Saints. I'm not saying that Pat Bryant's going to be that good as a rookie or ever. But think about path for this Broncos receiving corps. Cortland Sutton is the established one, and he had deserved to sign a big money contract extension yesterday. 4 years, $92 million. Sutton was great last year, year one with Bo Nix, and Sutton's going to be a mainstay for this receiving corps for years to come. It is going to be the number one this season. The rest of the names, though, in this Broncos receiving corps are not exactly household names or ones where you can just pencil them in and say, hey, I have a pretty good idea of what this is going to look like come week one at home against the Tennessee Titans. There's Marvin Mims. This is why he's hot. This is why he's hot. This is why, this is why, this is why he's hot. Marvin Mims is a gadget player. And he's a really good gadget player. But that's what he devolved into last year. Passes behind the line of scrimmage. The occasional deep shot. He's going to be involved in the offense. Is he going to be a volume hog? I doubt it. Okay. What about Devon Vele? Seventh round pick last year. Did you know Devon Vele's 28 years old? I think Vele has a decently high floor. He showed that last year. He's got no ceiling. And I have nothing against the guy, but let's call it like it is. Like, he's fine. He's going to make the team, I think. I don't think he's a huge threat here. There's Trent Sherfield. Jag. Just a guy. There's Bo Nix's college teammate, who I like, in Troy Franklin. But I mean, Troy Franklin was wildly inconsistent last year. He would have plays where he would get behind the defense, drop passes. Bo Nix, I think, missed him, to be fair to him, on a couple deep balls last year. But Troy Franklin, his game is more down the field. Pat Bryant's game is over the middle. And I know the Broncos signed Evan Engram to play the Joker role in Sean Payton's offense, but there is opportunity to be had in this Broncos offense. And I think Bryant and his skill set fits Bo Nix's game perfectly. I have drafted Pat Bryant pretty aggressively in dynasty leagues. I drafted him in the Scott Fishbowl, and I'm going to be looking at him in redraft leagues, assuming things continue to go well. There's a lot of positive praise at Broncos camp for him. I'll be looking to draft Pat Bryant, and man, if he's going to be in this rotation, let's check out that anytime touchdown price coming up for week one against the Tennessee Titans. And the last name here out of five, wide receiver, and will stay in the AFC for this one. And this player is not a rookie, but I think he's worthy of everybody's attention. I think he needs to be back on everybody's radar. Last year, the Cincinnati Bengals spent a third-round pick, wide receiver out of Alabama, Jermaine Burton. And Burton, despite the fact that everyone, and I'm not grinding college football tape, but the fact that everyone said this guy is way more than a third-round talent, but lasted to the third round because he's kind of loco. He's cuckoo. He's nuts. And that manifested last year because Burton, despite having this unbelievably high ceiling as a talent, couldn't get on the field because he's missing meetings. He's not lining up in practice in the right spots. He's not showing up for team pictures. It was always something last year for Jermaine Burton. Couldn't get on the field for the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals offensive coordinator Dan Pitcher is on record saying that Burton, this offseason, is doing all the things that he needs to do. Now, to be fair, it's a low bar to clear. Like, he's showing up on time. He's not no-showing events. He's showing up on time, and he's lining up in the right spot in practice. You might say, well, I mean, of course, that's the expectation. That's like the first thing. That's like what they teach you on day one. But he was lacking that. See, Jermaine Burton's got all the other stuff. He's got the physical ability. He's got the sky-high talent. He needed to get the basics locked down. And sky's the limit. It's too early to say if Jermaine Burton is going to carve out a role in this Bengals passing attack, because he is nuts and like could go off the reservation at any moment. But if he continues with his head on straight, think about what that passing offense was last year. Think about the fact that this defense is going to be bad this year, whether Shamar Stewart's good or not, whether they sign Trey Hendrickson or not. They're going to be in shootouts. They're going to have to score. Here's Burrow. Here's Chase. Here's Higgins. Here's Chase Brown. And here's Jermaine Burton. If Burton keeps his head on straight and performs well in the preseason, wheels up big time on Jermaine Burton, who will be not your normal number three wide receiver on an NFL team. We like Andre Yoshivas. We like Mike Gesicki. Neither have the talent of Jermaine Burton. Keep him on your radar big time for fantasy, and let's keep him on the radar as we approach week one for Cincinnati on the road at the Cleveland Browns. All right. I mean, we're really in the weeds there, man. We're underground, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah, man. I love it, dude. This is the time of year to do that. You want to get further in the weeds? You want to talk a little bit of Hall of Fame game before we go to break here? As we got news from Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, man. Trey Lance starting for the Chargers, baby. He'll be playing the first half for the Chargers. A little bit of DJ Uiagalelei in the second half. So it sounds like Lance will be the first half.
It's Lance and DJU.
DJU. Those are the two guys that will be playing for the Chargers. The betting market says, okay, great, we're betting Detroit. Because it moved. Detroit now a 1.5 point favorite, 2 in some places for Thursday night's game. We don't know Detroit and what Dan Campbell are going to do, but the Chargers with DJU likely being out there in the fourth quarter deciding your bet. Betting market wants no parts of that, and I agree. Like, I'd rather have Kyle Allen than DJU in this Hall of Fame game.
Well, Kyle Allen will play the end of the game for the Lions, but the first half of the game is going to be Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. He's talented. This was good at Tennessee.
Lance to make her dance.
I'm excited to watch.
8 Buckets continues on the other side.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.